Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Today is January the 1st, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we were on page 11, Bill's story, the third paragraph, starting with, "But my friend sat before me, and he made through one paragraph, ending with, better than the best he had ever known." Today's readers are reader of the text is Trisha D. Reader page 164 is Sally A. And our backup is Susan S. H. Newcomer greeter is Penny C. And our second hour host is Robin L. The reference number for Wednesday, December the 31st, our reference numbers, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,075, that's 23075. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 23,076, that's 23076. And the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Evelyn B. to read the 12 steps. Press star one, Evelyn. Are you on here, Susan? You got the 12 steps? Can I be heard? Susan S.H.?
Finally, I'm unmuted.
Yes, you can be heard.
Oh, okay.
You can be heard.
And I have the 12 steps?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, finally. Sorry, it took me a minute. This is Susan S.H.
That's okay.
The 12 steps, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thanks so much, Susan. And Anita L. is going to read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. Happy New Year to everyone. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and have a beautiful day, everyone. I pass.
Thanks so much, Anita L. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 11, in Bill's story, paragraph 3. And I will now ask Tricia D. to get us started. Tricia, please unmute.
Good morning. This is Tricia D. from Georgia, and I spell Tricia, T-R-I-S-H-J. And so let me begin reading page 11, paragraph. But my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat then, and he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to the level of life better than the best he had ever known. Wow, what a great, great paragraph. And I just see, I'm just drawn for just a moment to that last line in the paragraph above, where Bill says, if there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. And then the first word in that next paragraph starts with the word but. And I love that. I just chuckled when I saw but, because how often I will make a comment or start a sentence off heading to a certain direction, hopefully positive, and then I say but. But in this case, it's reversed, because Ebby says to Bill in this beautiful, loving paragraph, but my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration. I look at Ebby there. Ebby has, to me, he is a beautiful example of what a spiritual awakening is like. You know, in the back of the big book on the appendix 2, it gives the definition of a spiritual awakening or spiritual, and it says it's a personality change. And I asked myself that, gee, what is the personality change that I have seen in my walk in as a compulsive overeater since 2010, since 2020, since 2000, and then today, 2026. But you can see in Ebby the personality change. You know, he says he sat right before him. He was very confident, and he made made a declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And he admitted it. He said his human will had failed. Bill saw this. And even though he had so many obstacles, you know, doctors had pronounced him incurable, society was about to lock him up. And also, the beautiful thing is he admitted complete defeat. You know, that is where I love when he said that, because that's when, for me, I know when the student is ready, the teacher comes. And that is a great place to be when you know you are utterly defeated. And yet I see that whole beautiful transformation of this personality of Ebby sharing to Bill. You know, that, you know, I asked myself that, you know, just again, how did I make that change? You know, how I became so, I was so isolated, and food was, you know, sugar was my master. And then all of a sudden, you know, through working the steps, working with my sponsor, you know, it just all of a sudden, very gradually, over the years, it became where I had found neutrality with the food. I found more confidence because I went to the source of that power. I love visual descriptions, and I picture myself in this tank, a tank of courage. And it's like, how full is my tank of courage today? You know, what I have and what I'm looking for. And there is a gap between those two that I call that gap. You know, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign that God is drawing me closer to him to fill
gentle
in
reminder.
That. Thank you. And I just encourage everyone listening to embrace in 2026 a attitude of gratitude and an attitude of loving yourself more, and to follow the steps, because we only have that spiritual experience and that spiritual awakening when we, and that personality change when we work the steps and follow the program, just like Ebby is sharing with Bill. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Tricia D., for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience also. So if you will, give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, and I can take some names.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Bonnie B.
Sally A. Sally A. in New York.
Sally A. Is a great paragraph. Got Bonnie B. and Sally A.
Vasa
Anita
O.
L.
Vasa O. Anita L.
Robin P. In
Robin P.
Anieta.
Anieta. Anybody else? Okay, we can stop there for right now, and then we'll take another list. We have Bonnie B. from Florida, Sally A., Vasa O., Anita L., Robin P., and Hanietta. And when you give me your name, please tell me where you're calling from. So, Bonnie B., get us started.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Tina, for moderating. Bonnie B. from Florida. Thanks, Tricia, for the beautiful opening. Recovered. Living in the solution today, and so grateful. How blessed am I to be able to share in this paragraph, the first day of 2026. Oh, I can't imagine life any way different. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. I'm so grateful. So many things popped out to me in this paragraph. The first one was, raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. And I immediately, the question was, when was he raised from the dead? He was raised from the dead when he admitted complete defeat. And then it says, then, right? I mean, here's all these different words that connect one thing to another. I had to get to a point in my life where I stopped looking for other options. I share it all the time with people that are coming back or that have picked back up. I say, it's okay. It's another chapter in your book. Until you exhaust every other option. Every other option, you're going to think there's another option. And for my DNA, there is only one option. It is connecting to my God on a daily basis, multiple times throughout the day, whenever I feel as though I've lost my sense of peace. I was living, but not living. I was present, but not present. Not a really fun place to be. I think back to the years before program. And even as I worked program, trying to put all the pieces together, trying to get the foundation. You know, it says he made a point blank declaration. To declare means to make something quite clear. Initially, I wanted everyone around me to know, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing, and don't touch me. I'm so far beyond that right now. My declaration is to me. It's between me and my God. I have a food plan. I got a way of living. I have a circle that I live inside of, and self-care within that circle. But I declare on a daily basis, this is the only solution for me. And I have a brain that sometimes, not so much anymore, but used to certainly try to convince me, maybe just spent a full week with my brother and sister-in-law who flew in from out of state, and they're both on the G1 shots or whatever those things are. They've tried it all. My brain did not think that was a solution, but there was a day where everything was a potential solution. I have to formally announce to myself that God is the only solution, and God has done for me what nothing else could do for me. I had to stop looking around. So for anyone who is here on the first day of 2026, welcome. You are in such a safe, loving, kind place. If you have the same DNA that I have, you're home. So Bonnie B., once again from Florida, grateful for all of you, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Next, we have Sally A., followed by Voss O. Sally, please share with us.
Thank you, Tina. Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. Sally A., rescued, recovered in New York. So just for context, Bill is talking just before this about how disillusioned he is because of the wars. I'm sure he's referring to World War I in Europe. Because of the burnings, the religious persecutions, the chicanery, dishonesty, the deception, the political maneuverings used by religion for power. And so he's really reluctant. And then comes that word but, which usually but builds a wall where people argue their defense. But here he's having a second thought, but my friend, Ebby, sat before me and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. He can see that Ebby has been rescued, pulled from the quicksand. This human will, his human will, it speaks to me of the willpower that I tried so desperately to use in order to get out of this quicksand that just had me locked up because of this eating disorder. And so he knows that willpower failed him. The doctors pronounced him incurable. Hopeless is used most of the time. Society was about to lock him up, speaking of Ebby. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. He stopped trying. I, too, had stopped trying. Then, this big then, here's the change. He had, in effect, been raised from the dead. And for me, I've always thought of myself in that state of mind, in the disease, as dead but not buried. Life was one-dimensional. Instead of in color, it was black and white. Going through the motions. And for me, I was basically a dysfunctional drunk. I don't know how I went to work. Suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. That's who Abby had become. Bill was looking at this, and it caused him to think twice about his past blockages, his past disillusions. He couldn't help but see what was right before him. And it was unblocking him from the possibility of what a higher power could do for him, what a spiritual change could do for him. All right, with that, I pass. Thanks all, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much, Sally A. from New York. Next, Vasa O., followed by Anita L. Vasa, please share with
Thank
us.
Thank you. Good morning. I believe it's Tina. Sharing
yes.
the meeting. Thank you so much for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I shared maybe like 2 or 3 days ago. I don't like to step up because, but then it was a little slow this morning, so I didn't mind doing it. But anyways, yes, I love this paragraph. I can identify 100% with Edith. My Abby, like Bill's Abby, went to his house while my Abby came to my house. And as we sat in the kitchen table, and she shared her own experience, and she said God had done for her what she couldn't do for herself, and that was me. I struggled with the food addiction for so long, so many years, and yeah, it was killing me, and I was dying gradually, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I didn't even know. You know, and I didn't even know food addiction was a drug. I didn't know sugar was a drug. Allergy of the body with the mental obsession. And I was done. I was ready and willing. I really was ready and willing. She did 12-step me for about a week before she took me to my first meeting. She shared about program, the steps, the tools, meetings. And she gave me so much hope because I lost hope. By the time I came to OA, I gave in. There was nothing more to try or to do. I just failed with everything. I remember thinking, oh, maybe if I had my jaws wired and I'll go to a hypnotist or have my stomach stapled, they did in those days. But I was too embarrassed. I was too embarrassed. So I gave. I gave in the food. There's nothing more I can do. I just kept on killing myself with it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I was brought into Overeaters Anonymous, and this person gave me hope. She said, if it's working for me, it's going to work for you too, Vasa. She had me sold. I was ready and willing to surrender. And I did have that spiritual experience in my bathroom of all the places. I went in the bathroom, locked the door. I didn't want anybody to come in there to find me on my knees. And yes, it's like, yeah, I remember saying, she said, you could ask God to forgive you for all the sins. I just did what she told me to do. And I said, God, please forgive me for all the sins. I didn't even know my sins, what they were. I just mimicked everything she told me. And guess what? You know, I felt that connection. It's like plugging the iron in the wall socket. I felt it was like electrical, went from my head to my heart. And that was the beginning. And she said, mark your calendar. This is the day you're going to become abstinent, you know, when I went home, you know. And I marked my calendar, and that's my birthday, they call it, you know, October 25th, 1986. And I've gone through a lot of stuff being in recovery all these years. But no matter what, no matter, I haven't gone back to the food. It was very hard dealing with life and life problems. But I kept on going to my higher power. Please help me. And I kept on, I still do what I'm supposed to do. And it's working.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. It's working if we work it. and Happy New Year to every one of you. God bless.
Thanks, Vasa. I think you're calling from Florida this time of the year. And Anita L., followed by Robin P. Please share with us, Anita.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. Living in recovery, in the solution, the one and only solution with my higher power, whom I do call God, one of the names I call my higher power. For me, I love this paragraph, actually, because I can relate to the fact that Bill, at this point in his life, had reached the point of desperation. He was hopeless. And didn't I know that feeling? I had felt that several times in my life. And I guess I didn't even know it when I was younger. However, my higher power always loved me and carried me and brought me to a place out of the hopelessness. And then when I was 23, excuse me, I was in graduate school, and the woman who was my roommate, she was my Abby. She wasn't a food addict. She was in nursing school and was learning about different things in her during her psych rotation, and she must have learned about addiction. And she gave me an article from the newspaper talking about a man who had gone to this program called Overeaters Anonymous after being in a weight loss pay and way five times. And I had been in that same one five times. And I was able to lose the weight, but never to keep it off. And more importantly, never feeling freedom. Never feeling that inner peace and serenity. And this is what God had done for me. God brought me to OA. I didn't want to listen to my roommate at first. It took me 6 weeks to get to my first meeting. And when I heard the word God, I didn't want to deal with that because I was angry at God at that point. However, eventually, I moved and I went to OA in another state, and I surrounded myself with women who were living in the solution, and I was willing to do whatever I could to get well. And God picked me up from that scrap heap and brought me to a level of love, inner peace, and serenity that I never knew before. And when I saw the glow in the women around me at the OA meeting and heard their recovery, I wanted that. I wanted the same thing. I didn't just want to lose weight, which I needed. I wanted to be well emotionally. And I didn't even know the word spiritually. However, that was the most important. Thank you. That was the most important thing I was missing. And for today, God is my best friend. And if it can happen to me, it can happen to all of us. So Happy New Year, be well, and keep coming back. Thank you, I pass.
Thanks so much, Anita L. from Pennsylvania. Next, we have Robin P., followed by Honietta. Please share with us, Robin.
Thanks so much, Dana. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Franklin, Tennessee, outside of Nashville. And Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you so much for this meeting and everyone who makes it possible. You know, I feel like this does describe me, this paragraph. You know, I feel like God has always done for me what I can't do for myself. And, you know, I just celebrated 10 years of abstinence, which is such a miracle, literally a miracle, because I was such a low bottom bulimic. And at times I was anorexic, at times I was a compulsive overeater, but the bulimia was just outrageous in my life. I was such a low bottom. And
literally just took over. And I tried going to treatment. I tried going to just so much help, therapist, everything I could think of. And, you know, I think everyone had given up on me. And I was 80 pounds. You know, it was just, you know, people would look at me and I would just think, well, if I die, I just have to die thin. And it's just, I don't even recognize that person. Doesn't feel like that was me. You know, I'm a normal weight. I live my life. I have my meals and I live life in between. And I do my best to be of service to God and my fellows. And wow, that was literally the opposite of who I was. And literally that's God, because I couldn't do it. I tried everything. I couldn't stop worshiping food, which was my God. And so I just know that this was definitely a power greater than myself. And exactly how I feel. Because I know people who are still struggling. And I'm just so grateful and blessed. And I don't understand why I got to hit bottom and they haven't hit bottom yet. And I just pray for them to hit bottom. And say to them, just pray to hit bottom so that you can recover. And I really pray for everyone that we all have a very happy and healthy and prosperous new year and in living in recovery today. Thank you so much. This meeting means so much to me. You all are my heroes and you are my family. And I'm eternally grateful. God bless you and I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Robin P. from Tennessee. Next, we have Hanietta, and then we'll take another list of names. Please share with us, Hanietta.
Thank you, Tina, for your service. Thank you so much. This is Hanietta R. from Texas, and I haven't spelled my name for a while, so I'm going to spell it today in case you're looking for me. Hanietta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas. Outside Dallas. Happy New Year. I keep sending people Happy New Year because these big fireworks come out and I love watching that. It's so fun. Okay. Now to the topic at hand. And I do like somebody had pointed out that he had said that the devil seems to be the boss universally, you know. But I love that. But my friend still sat before me. And what I want to talk about is where it says here, God had done for him what he could not do for himself, which of course is a ninth step promise, but that his human will had failed. His human will had failed. I think that is so important. My human will had failed. My human will. I didn't have any more will. I was totally defeated, and that's that he was totally, completely defeated, and I feel like I was taken from the scrap heaps to a level better than the best he had ever known, and my life today is the better of the best that I've ever known. I have a beautiful home. I have a husband that helps me 95% of the time, and when the other 5%, I get all pissy. But it doesn't last for about a couple of minutes, so it's not too bad anymore. Because then I do a 10-step and it's gone. And, you know, this program gives me everything I need to live my life so that I can have the best, better than the best life he could ever have known. Better than the best. God is so good to me. God is so good to me. I see miracles every day. I watch for them. I try to find them, you know, with whether in me or friends or relatives. But I see miracles all the time. I love miracles. And actually, in the readings that I read, some of my religious prayers that I do, it says it says that we are surrounded by miracles all day long. And I love that. So I know that it's there, and it's there far reaching. And if you have not had a miracle in your life yet, and you're not abstinent, and you just keep coming back, and your miracle is there for you. We all have miracles, every single one of us, whether you're new or struggling or coming back or whatever, you have a miracle out there for you. But what you have to do is what it says. Admit, what I had to do was admit complete defeat. My human will had failed me. So I want to thank everyone. Happy New Year. Thank you, Tina. I love you guys so much. I pass.
Thanks so much, Honeyetta R. from Plano, Texas. And before we take another list, let me remind everybody where we're reading from. We were on page 11, Bill's story, the third paragraph, starting with, "But my friend sat before me and he made," through one paragraph, ending with, "Better than the best he had ever known." And now I can take another list. "Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience. So if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back." And I can take a list, your first name, first initial, your last name, and where you're calling from. Who'd like
Maisie
to share?
C., Massachusetts.
Maisie C.
NWH.
NWH.
Helen C.
Leah
Helen
S.
Helen C. Leah S.
Alicia
Betty
S. Jean
M. Betty Jean Alicia. M. from Connecticut.
Betty Jean M. Okay, let's start there, and if we have more time, we can take some more. Let me tell you who I have. I have Maisie C., Ken W.H., Helen C., Leah S., Alicia, and Betty Jean from Connecticut. And when you give me your name, please give me the initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Let's start with Maisie C. Please share with us, Maisie.
Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you, everybody, for being here. And again, Happy New Year to you all. And I heard the word miracle, and it brings me to tears, because I didn't see miracles when I was in the food. I saw nothing except gloom and doom, and I considered myself pretty hopeless. And my biggest, I've been in program for 25 years, and to be honest with you, I've been bouncing back and forth, because I am so thick-headed. I have been so thick-headed. I was comparing and not identifying, and I can no longer do that. I am an addict. I'm a low-bottom addict when it comes to sugar and flour and stuff like that, and I just need to work the program, walk the walk and not just talk the talk, and listen to the people that have gone before me and know that there is hope for me. Lots of hope. I'm seeing many miracles. I have a better relationship with my children today. I'm in a good place, not physically, but that's got nothing to do with any of this. But, well, maybe it does, because, you know, eating all that junk for so many years, I know, destroyed a lot of my health, in and out of the doctors, causing insurance companies to have to spend a lot of money on me because of my addiction. Wow. That also brings me to tears. What I've done, you know, I have God's temple, and I was abusing it. And I had said to my sponsor, I am hopeless. I just can't get this. I can't get longer than a few months. So I think the longest I told her the other day in 25 years was 8 to 9 months. And but you know what? Again, there's always hope. I know that if I show up, I love this meeting. I started coming to this meeting almost 2 years ago, well, a year and a half ago. And I've gotten so much from these meetings. There's some wonderful such healthy people on this line. I had a woman call me a couple of months, maybe a month or so ago, and say, hey, I haven't heard you. And then, of course, I felt like, oh, I better pick up. I, you know, better speak up. And that was so nice to have somebody reach out, you know, and know that there's others out there that care and love one another. And that's what it's all about. God says, love each other as I have loved you. And, oh, my goodness, I'm just so grateful. I have a long gratitude list today. No matter what I'm going through physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, I am set. I said to my doctor, I don't know how anybody gets through a day without God. I'm sorry, I don't. I just don't. I know I couldn't. Today we're in a new year.
Gentle reminder.
Life. Thank you. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much, y'all. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Maisie C. from Massachusetts. Next, we have Ken W. H., followed by Helen. Please share with us, Ken.
Thank you, Tina. This is Ken W. H., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I'm aware that, you know, Bill is writing this many years after the event and several years after the event, and he's reminiscing, looking back, and the paragraph before is just a clear example to me of him, and this is the same for me, how do I make sense of all this? How do I make sense of life? What are the facts? I'm looking, staring at the facts, and none of it made any sense to him. It didn't make sense to me why this was this way and that was that way, and you know, what was happening in the world and his life and all that kind of stuff. Trying to make sense of it. But Ebby came along and he sat down there, and Ebby probably didn't know how to make sense of it either. He's probably saying, I don't know what happened here, Bill. All I know is that something happened and God had something to do with it. And I'm not the way I was. I don't drink the way I drank. I don't have all the answers to all those questions about why this, why that. All I know is that I don't drink now, and God did it. I didn't do it. I was powerless. I was lost. And rather than just trying to figure it out, which is not a slogan, let's figure it out. Rather than trying to figure it out, Ebby just told the story and said outright, I can't put all of his words into his mouth, but I don't know what happened, but God did something to me, and I'm changed, and I'm different, and I'm new, and that's the case for me. I'm not who I was. Bill said earlier that he saw Ebby and said he wasn't himself. Well, he wasn't the self that Bill knew, the drinking Ebby. He was actually a different self. He was a renewed, awakened self. He was the self that God had in mind for him. And the but in this paragraph is perfect. You know, it's the old yes but that means no and. He's got all these facts and everything else that doesn't make sense. And when he's trying to make sense of it, yes, 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 look at all this stuff. But what's going on here in front of me? This doesn't make sense. And he didn't make sense to him. So he was sort of saying yes and but and no and just didn't make sense. But he did see that Ebby, like himself, says right there, and I had to say this, like myself, he admitted complete defeat. And that if God didn't do it, I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble. I'm not going to make it through this thing. He was, you know, the defiance, my defiance, my need to make sense of things put me in a place of being totally defiant. But Bill finally came to that place, and I finally came to that place where without God, I was nothing. I was not going to make it through this thing.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you so much. I've probably said enough for today, and I'm grateful to you all. Thank you, Tina, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Next, we have Helen C., followed by Leah S. Please share, Helen.
Thank you, Tina. Good morning, all. I'm Helen, the recovered compulsive leader, recovered just for today. And I want to thank you for your service, Tina, and all that are behind the scenes that are making this meeting possible. And Happy New Year to all. And I want to talk about my Abby. I have been in the wounds for about 45 years, but in 2018, I went to a meeting, a workshop that I didn't want to go to. And I saw this girl. I had seen her before, around before, but that day when I saw her, her eyes were like a headlight, like headlights, and the energy around her was just overwhelming. It made me want to cry. I didn't even think about it. But and that was in 2018, and here's 2026. But anyway, I said, I want what she has. So anyway, I asked her for information and talked to her, and she gave me the number to this meeting. And that was in November 2018, and I've been here ever since and don't plan to leave because it's such a, you know, this is where I became recovered. Like I said, I've been in the rooms of about 45 years. And oh, so that's telling people that the people that are returning, that don't give up, don't give up. I was... working, I never left the rooms, thank God for that, but I was working the program, you know, dieting with group support, and that, and I thought that was as good as it got, and so and when I saw my Abby, and she gave me the information, I started listening to this meeting in November 2018, and I've been here every day, just about every day since then. But anyway, so I worked the program according to what the instructions were, and stopped trying. I was stopped trying to work it according to Helen's program. You know, I was doing the cafeteria style, you know, with the steps. And but when I gave up my will, surrendered. You know, it was a complete different story. And I worked the program according to what the, Abby, she gave me this information, but then later in 2019, I asked her to be my sponsor. And she took me through the big book. And it came, you know, and that's when I became recovered. And lo and behold, I had done a lot of stuff, like I said,
gentle reminder.
All right. But anyway, I just want to just say that this program does work, and I'm glad that I gave up. I surrendered, as somebody says, surrender, surrender, surrender. And it does work. And thank God I'm here today and with you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. Happy New Year.
Were you calling from, Helen? Were you calling
Virginia.
From
Helen? Virginia, thank you. Sorry.
All right. Thank you. No problem. Okay, next we have Leah S., followed by Felicia.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. Happy New Year to everyone. And, wow. Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead. I mean, how does this big book come and tell me that I was dead? I was living my life, thank you very much, until now, until I came in January of 2013. What's going on? I'm not dead. I have a whole bunch of things. I mean, you know, I have a whole life that I was living up until now. And then it goes on to say the level of life to the better than the best that he had ever known. And with that, I can attest with a full mouth, completely full mouth. This is not only a weight loss program. This is a program where I actually want my food. I actually like my food, and I don't want anything else because this is what is good for me and because this is what I like and this is what is just, I don't live to eat. I live to eat. I don't live because I'm going to get my next meal. It means I live in between. Oh, I don't know how to say it. Please excuse me. But anyway, each and every day is such a big, big difference. It is so... every day has a new challenge for me, and every day there are just so many things that I overcome in my life that are unbelievable. They can't be explained. They can't be. It's only my higher power that's doing things, and it's getting better and better and better, and it makes me happier and happier. And I don't have that melancholy, and I don't have that extreme anger, and I don't have that extreme happiness. I just, like, I try and strive for that healthy equilibrium, and it keeps getting better despite all that. And with that, I will pass.
We can't hear you, Tina.
Sorry, thanks so much. I wasn't talking away. Next, we have Felicia, followed by Betty Jean. And if you both take 2 minutes, we can get everybody in. Felicia, please unmute and tell us where you're calling from. Felicia, star one.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Fabulous. Hi, I'm Felicia S. from New Jersey, recovering grateful compulsive overeater. Just quickly wanted to share, today is 7 months and of abstinence and peace. And 7 months ago, I was so far in the food, I couldn't see my way out. And I have been doing this for many, many many years, decades, and a friend called me and reached out and brought me the message and brought me back to OA and brought me back to Vision. And very quickly, I met my sponsor on a Vision Sunday special edition meeting. And if you would have told me that last night, you know, I would have been doing service and the food wouldn't have called me, and I just would have been a person among persons, I couldn't envision it. And I was dead. I just hadn't fallen down. And I am grateful to have been restored to life. And thank you for each of you. With that, I pass.
So much. Thanks so much, Felicia S. from New Jersey. And next, we'll have Betty Jean from Connecticut. Please share, Betty Jean.
Hi, this is Betty Jean from Connecticut. Can you hear me? Hi, this is Betty Jean from Connecticut, recovering in Connecticut.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
So good to be here with you all today. Such a different New Year's for me, waking up happy, grateful. More than happy, grateful, not hungover from another binge. With a fresh coat of beautiful white snow on the ground, my life is so much different today. It is so much better. I was really, really sick. So going to a lot of doctors, and my doctors were so sick of me, they were referring me to other doctors and to specialists and doing more tests. Well, during all of this medical intervention, one medical provider said to me, "Have you heard of OA?" And then he handed me a piece of paper with a phone number on it. that I called a meeting that Saturday morning, and that's what changed everything. My life has a before and after line in it. It's before OA. Today is a 180, and I can't even tell you. It's not just the weight loss. Yeah, I lost 50 pounds. That's fabulous. All my doctors love me now. They're really happy. They can't believe the results. But the depression that had followed me around like a wet dog is gone. The roller coaster of emotions that was caused by sugar, I didn't know it. I thought I had a mental illness. It was sugar. I was way up or I was way down. I was never just in the middle like everybody else. Now I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of this herd every single day, and I work at staying there by calling you, by reaching out to all of you, to listening to all of you. Thank you so much for being here. I want you all to have a wonderful, safe, happy new year. Amen. I pass.
Thanks so much, Betty Jean from Connecticut. Okay, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, which is January the 1st, 2026, is 23,078. That's 23078. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Sally A., would you please read page 164 for us? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until